You're listening to 66.6 FM, Radio TOVH, The Flush.
Boy, howdy, you are listening to the Toil to Hell Radio Show. I am your host, Joe Thrashenkill, and with me I've got my good buddies, 365 Days of Horror. Say hi, 365.
Hey, hey, hey.
And,
Renaissance.
There we go.
Yeah. Hey, hey.
We should do an episode where we all just do just the most obnoxious metal noises to communicate with each other.
There's so many.
Yeah, there's a lot to choose from. I would do lots of Hetfield yes.
Yeah, yeah.
You got no's, you got your Chris Barnes lows, you got your King Diamond highs. There's a lot we could do with that.
Yeah. What about your Jose Mangan impossibles? greatest growler of all time, by the way. If you ever hear him introduce Devil's Dozen, it's just a treat every time.
He is masterful. Yes. Nobody can do those toilet sewer gutturals quite like Jose Mangan.
I tried so hard. It's like Devil's Dozen. So terrible.
You guys ever heard King? Anyway, yeah, lots of I'll just forcefully go. Well, I mean, I was talking to that fucking guy. But maybe for a future episode, fellas. I don't know about you, but the last time we recorded was like 2 weeks ago. And in that time since, like, I've just been slammed, beaten to death by, like, a whole bunch of real life shit, and I've barely got to listen to any metal. I don't think I've listened to any music. And I certainly haven't kept up with any kind of news, within this weird subgenre that we've devoted our lives to. So, how about you fellas? What have you been doing?
This is going to be like the vacuum episode, because it's just, I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's just the end of summer with my work and everything else, but I'm just about in the same predicament. I have not given a shit really since our last episode about anything. This is like episode zero. Just nothing happened.
I don't know if anything happened, but it's like, I will admit that I don't do a lot. Just in my usual, you know, day-to-day life, it's pretty much work and then sit on the internet for too long. But for some reason, this has been an extremely busy month for me. Like, I've actually had stuff to do and places to go and people to see.
Right.
So, like, I'm in the same boat as well. Like, for the past 5-6 days, I've been in Chicago. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Sorry, listeners, we're not going to talk about metal for 5 minutes. We're going to have to talk about wrestling. I'm sorry. But I was.
But this
part
was a pretty cool thing. Yeah. You got.
Oh, yeah. This was super cool. And I'm so glad I did it. This is like the first quote unquote vacation I've gone on in years. And it wasn't really a vacation because I worked the whole time. I went to. It was part of All In Weekend. All In was a massive independent wrestling show that, you know, wasn't involved with WWE or any of the big names, that just kind of the wrestlers put on themselves, led by Dusty Rhodes's son Cody Rhodes. And part of the weekend was something called Starcast. It was a big wrestling convention, and I've mentioned it a couple times on the show, but not recently. Another website I've been writing for, actually longer than I've been writing for Toilet of Hell, is called wrestlecrap.com. And they've been around for almost 20 years, and it's just kind of been chronicling the worst parts of wrestling, all of the goofy storylines and characters, and it's just kind of a fun comedy website. And what I've been doing is a section called Headlines, which is like The Onion for wrestling stories. I've been doing that for about 6 years. So we all got together from all the different parts of the country that we all live in and just kind of hung out. We had our own little table, sold stuff, met lots of people. We had, I don't know if you guys are familiar with Katie Vick, if that name rings a bell to either one of you.
It's Michael Vick's sister.
Yeah, no. See, Triple H, who's going to be running WWE as soon as Vince McMahon shuffles off this mortal coil, was
never,
in...
That will never happen.
No. He cannot die by human means. No. So Triple H was in a feud with Kane, who is now the actual honest-to-goodness mayor.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to... was it... what part of Tennessee did he become mayor of?
Knoxville City or something like that. Something small. Some small town where like the mayor doesn't actually matter.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to their police force privatizing.
Yeah, it's going to be great. So he was in this feud with Triple H and Kane. And for whatever reason, this is when wrestling was really off the rails, as opposed to normally when it's just weird. Triple H had alleged that Kane had killed his girlfriend named Katie Vick, and that he had video of Kane doing something awful to her during her funeral. And what this was Triple H, dressed like Kane, getting into a coffin with a mannequin dressed in a cheerleader outfit and then defiling said mannequin and then throwing spaghetti at the camera saying, "I screwed her brains out."
Wow.
So we had the actual outfit that the mannequin wore from that insane episode. We had it in a coffin and people could take their pictures with it.
That's amazing.
We also had, I don't know, this is going way back to 1990, if either one of you remember the Gobbledygooker.
I do, yeah.
What the fuck is that?
Oh, I am more than happy to tell you.
The big egg and everything, yeah.
So in the early 90s, Vince McMahon got the idea to carry around a giant egg. I mean, not a real egg, whatever. Made out of construction paper and all sorts of nonsense, and took it around the country to all their live events saying, "Oh my God, something's going to happen when it hatches at Survivor Series. You don't want to miss it." And some people thought it was going to be a new wrestler debuting. I think they thought it was going to be a Playboy model would come out. Like, all these insane sort of ideas. And what came out was the Gobbledygooker. It was a wrestler, Hector Guerrero, dressed up in a hideous turkey costume, popped out of this egg, danced around for 5 minutes, and then wasn't seen again for about 20 years until everyone got in on the joke and it started showing up again. Wow. We had one of the costumes at this event, and I actually dressed up in the costume and took pictures with people and danced around and actually made one of the wrestlers performing it all in really mad and complained about it on Twitter. It was a lot of fun.
Who did you piss off?
I pissed off, his name is Joey Janela. So what we were doing is, it's $10 for a picture. We were just telling that to people, you know, got to make a little bit of money, got to help pay the bills, pay all the travel expenses and all that. And I can't see out of this thing. Like, I really cannot see out of it. So people are just coming up, "How much for a picture? I want a picture." And just saying $10. And I guess he came up and said he wanted a picture. We said $10. And he was deeply insulted that how dare we charge him $10 to get a picture with our little gimmick. And instead of saying, you know, "Hi, I'm Joey, I'm performing, is it okay if I get a picture?" He just went, "Well, I'm a wrestler." So I went, "All right, $11. And that made him madder. So then I said, "Okay, $12. And that made him madder. And then he went on Twitter and complained about it. And it really helped us out in the end because it just advertised us more. And then we got a bunch of pictures with other wrestlers and performers. So
good fucking call, man.
It's like Curtis was telling us, really, any press is good press.
Yeah, you got to piss off the right people sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know who Joey Janela is, but I have seen his name, so I assume he's a big deal.
Yeah, I've seen the name too, and like, I'm, you know, everyone walking around, like, I saw plenty of well-known wrestlers, Scott Steiner, Brutus Beefcake, you know.
How does Scott Steiner look now, by the way? Because I know he was just like the biggest chunk of beef back when I was a kid, but
he's still a big guy. Okay. I was kind of surprised by his height. Like, I'm not a tall guy, and he's definitely taller than me. But I think you always kind of think of these guys being larger than life and being massive in the ring. And I don't know, maybe 5 or 6 inches taller than me, which might sound like a lot. But like, when you're actually there, it's like, oh, all right. You know, he doesn't tower over me like a Kevin Nash would.
Let's pretend for a moment that I haven't spent way too much time like researching various famous bodybuilders. I would say that I would say that like the average height for like just a mega jacked, like, you know, cut up bodybuilder dude is probably like 5'10", maybe a little bit shorter.
Just it's, brick shit houses.
5'3".
Yeah, I mean, you see a lot of dudes. Honestly, you see a lot of dudes like that too. Like, it's rare that you get like a 6'2", you know, 300-pound built guy. That's just your body doesn't work that way. Nobody's body works that way.
So all the guys in
those,
so all the guys in Man of War are like 5'2".
Oh man! Also, those guys are not even built. Like they're like cut, but they, you know. They're like 130 pounds and like maybe a 10% body fat. Like, you can do that by doing some chin ups, pal. Yeah. Not impressed, Joey DeMaio. Where were we going with this? I just got distracted by the male form.
It happens. Right. So well, just saying that you know, if you're like a 5'3" dude and you don't have a chance to grow taller, you can grow outward with muscles. So that's what happens with all those.
Get fucking take some HGH. You might even get taller.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, that sounds like a lot of fun. I'm glad that you got to like go hang out with your other site friends and just really immerse yourself in the silly vestiges of wrestling past and piss off a famous wrestling guy. That seems like a pretty good vacation.
Yeah, it was a good time. It was. We talk pretty much every day, and like I'm involved in, I do the Toilet of Hell Twitter, we read the site, we write, we do the show, we do all these things, and it was super weird to just be away from all that for like 5 or 6 days and to be around people who really don't care about that, because we're around that all the time.
That's true. Like we really like put ourselves into this thing for, and you and me especially, for years, just with Toilet of Hell. I will say, a little bit jealous of the whole wrestling thing where you can just set up a booth and people will give you money to take pictures with you.
We need to get in on this game. We need to like start going to like New England Metal Fest and Northwest Terror Fest, just set up a table, sell our shirts, get a picture with Frenicide for $10. I think we could do it.
I think we need to.
Pretty monstrous, so make a good picture.
We got it, yeah, and we'll just every fucking picture, we'll do the stereotypical thing of like throwing up the invisible oranges and look like you're screaming in agony.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Are you ready to like get back involved in just the cesspit of metal again?
I think so. I think it's a little bit more of my comfort zone, too. I think I know a little bit more of what I'm talking about. This event was, you know, it's all wrestling fans, you know, different ages and all that, but it was heavily focused on kind of what's going on right now, and I'm not super into it. Like, everywhere you looked, there was a Bullet Club shirt or, like, a knockoff Bullet Club shirt. And, you know, I know who they are. I'm aware of it, but, like, I don't follow it at all that much. So it was kind of like slightly out of my element, despite still being into it a little bit.
Well, I mean, Brenna, you follow this stuff pretty closely now, right?
I mean, I watch WWE, but I'll admit that I don't get way into like Ring of Honor and like New Japan or whatever. I'll watch that stuff if I can find like some illegal bullshit pirate stream of it, you know, just to be fun. As far as I can tell, Bullet Club is everybody there that's American, which is wrong, but I just can't tell who the hell is involved with that. It's like Kenny Omega, and then it used to be Finn Balor, and now it's not. And then it used to be those chuds that are a tag team randomly that never get any screen time that are on WWE now, but now they're not. I don't know who Bullet Club is anymore.
What promotion were you sending me? It was the promo where like these SA dudes are hanging out, and then their like kid brother gets gatted up on a drive by.
That was Impact Wrestling.
Yeah,
holy TNA. I want to watch that simply because it just looks like fucking shit. Like the lowest production values. Like these guys can't act worth a fucking damn, and they're like, "Oh no, Jose,
Richie, or whatever,
Richie, little Richie, who has never been mentioned before or mentioned since."
Oh my God.
So yeah, wrestling's super weird, and I'm kind of out of it. So it was a little weird to be surrounded by people so into something that I'm just not into anymore.
Well,
so
I had a pretty similar experience with that entirely. I was gone for a week as well. I went to Canada, which was number one delightful because it was a full 40 degrees cooler there.
Nice.
But I was also involved in something I used to be involved in, or at least more enthusiastically. I went to a marketing conference for my real job. And so you're just in a room with people, like their hobby is like talking about how they change the world with, you know, A/B testing. It's like you're able to scrape a couple of extra conversions via like emotional storytelling and all of this new analytic shit, and people are just like losing their goddamn minds over it. One of the presentations kept invoking the civil rights movement and how significant it was that these new advances in marketing were. And it's just, man, it is really, whew. What's your shit? What have you been involved in, Bruno?
Oh, man. Nothing fun. I had to move my my friend. I don't know if you guys remember this. Maybe the listener might. I think it might have been a Patreon episode. Months and months and months and months ago, I talked about my buddy, right, and how he was just in this relationship with this like grifting piece of shit that just wanted to be a super creative butterfly.
And oh yeah, that was on our first Patreon bonus show.
Yeah, the one that turned everybody off of the whole thing, because we talked about the most horrible shit.
We talked about our feelings.
Yeah. Anyway, he kicked said person to the curb, and he had to move out to a town that was a couple miles south. So I just me and my bros in 102 freaking degree weather, the hottest day of the year, we just moved this guy's heavy ass furniture down two flights of stairs, and yeah, I thought I was gonna die. I've never felt so horrible in my life. But it's like you don't want to look weak in front of your bros, so you don't take breaks, and you don't, you know, breathe heavy, and you don't do the things you're supposed to do. You're just like, yeah, you know, yeah, that filing cabinet's fine. Don't worry, just throw it on my head. I'll just fucking back this down the stairs.
Push that hernia back in and keep working.
That's right. It's fucking terrible. I've been really trying to get back into making music again. And the thing I've convinced myself, look, you know, I really want to keep this all in. I want to be very private with my music. I want to write it all myself, and then maybe reach out to other musicians later when I feel like I have something solid. But that all fell apart when I tried to fuck with some VSTs and, you know, all the stuff you use to make drum noises and stuff. I just tried the programs. I hate all of them, and they're all too expensive. So I'm just not going to waste my money, and I'm probably just going to write all the guitar parts and then meet some dudes and see if they can, you know, be a drummer as opposed to me. So I'm not a drummer, man. Drumming sucks.
I understand. I'm not a drummer either, and that's by far the hardest part of like trying to make music, is like, you know, coming up with decent shit and, you know, putting in all the fills properly, like in an easy drum or whatever. But I would still 1,000 times rather waste 8 hours trying to come up with one fill than talking to a drummer in real life.
Yeah, I mean, the easy drummer too is going to show up for practice, you know what I mean? Yeah. Easy drummer too doesn't have a girlfriend. But I was looking at the, you know, Get Good Drums by the guys in Periphery, and I was like, oh, this sounds great, this is awesome. And then I watched a tutorial on how to fucking install the thing, mm-hmm. and then I was just immediately put my money right back in my fucking pockets. It was such a nightmare.
Do you use, are you on a PC?
Yeah, I'm on a PC.
Yeah, I first started fucking around with like drum plugins and guitar plugins and stuff on a PC, and yeah, I wasted like days just trying to put the right files in the right folder so that it would show up in my DAW.
Yeah, exactly.
I guess this is like a recurring theme, but I'm really fucking bad at computers, but I will waste a lot of time trying.
Yeah, I'm actually good at computers, and I even still, I mean, sometimes you'll do everything right. You'll do everything exactly according to the installation procedure, everything to a T, and it still doesn't work. And then what? They don't fucking refund your money for the software. You can't download it back to them. So I just wasn't, you know. Easy Drummer works okay, but I didn't like it. It's just, you know, it's fucking this tiny window that will maximize, and it sucks. I don't want to fucking every single one of the sample beats they have, it sounds like somebody's smiling while playing the drums, and that's not me, so I don't want that. Everything's too happy.
I definitely bought like a bunch of the packages of like additional beats, so I had like one for country music that's pretty good, and a couple for metal, and I don't know, they're fun. I like them. But it is like, if you're trying to get outside of just using their stock beats, it is incredibly difficult.
Yeah, I should probably, I mean, if I were to go to the East German route, it's like, right now it's $150. And the worst part about all this, as I told people on Twitter, is that the fucking program's been out for 4 years. The second I put money down for the thing, you know what's going to happen. Easy Drummer 3 just announced this second because Brett and I just bought it.
Yeah, man. That's how life works, though. Like, you don't get a break. You don't get anything good. No.
Just constantly. So anyway, just going to put the drumming thing aside and probably just invest my money in some more guitar stuff because it's fun and it makes me happy.
I'm telling you, man. The way to go is just playing acoustic guitar. Like,
oh, honestly, it's not.
After I've invested, you know, most of my life into like buying cool gear and effects pedals and amplifiers, I found that I just get way more enjoyment with fucking around with an acoustic because it's just easy. It's just easier. If you want to play, you play. If you don't want to play, you don't.
See, I find the complete opposite. I think acoustic guitar is so lame. Like, it's like a totally different technique. Totally different. It's like, yeah, you could breathe on an electric guitar wrong and it'll ring, it'll freaking scream. But if you like don't play an acoustic guitar with every fiber of your being, you're not going to get the note in the exact pronunciation that you want it. So you're smashing your fingers on these dusty ass bronze stupid strings. I don't like acoustic at all. And I like all the effects. I like all the stupid bullshit. That's the only reason I play electric guitar. I don't actually play any music. Come on. You just plug in everything and it just goes, and you're like, hell yeah, I'm an artist.
Well, let me join your band. Let me play acoustic guitar intros and outros for your trees and shit black metal band.
Yeah, that sounds cool. You can like tune in some weird Celtic tuning. And
I mean, I'm seriously like, you know, not to be all like nerd and shit, but I love alternate tunings. Like, that's my fucking shit.
What's the one? Is it Dadgad? I don't know.
Yeah, Dadgad is like a pretty popular one. Like, the Led Zeppelin did that a lot back in the day.
Yeah, fucking tune different. I still play metal and standard. That's me. Like, I don't even like when
E standard.
When people drop tune my stuff, it fucks everything up. I'll play D standard. But I'm not going to play drop D. That ruins everything. If you play anything except power chords, it breaks your whole environment.
I refuse to play in drop D because I've got just this horrible association with nu metal in it. Like, if I hear drop D tuning, I hear Godsmack because all of their shit was in drop D tuning.
Yeah. Because it was all power chord. I mean, drop C is just, and drop C is very popular. Lots of metal dudes play drop C still to this day, but it's such drowning pool tuning. It's like
that is true. The tuning itself sounds ignorant.
It's very ignorant.
But I mean, like E standard. I mean, your grandpa's guitar is that way. You're playing like Megadeth and shit.
You're playing, I mean, honestly, the best metal bands all played the fucking standard stuff. Skeleton Witch, which is like the only band left that I love that came out in the last 10 years, they play E standard strictly, which you never know it listening to it, but they're heavy as hell. It's all about the riffs, dude.
Yeah, and bass and drums, like the low end coming in, you need that kind of stuff. You know, as a guitarist, you forget that there are other people in the band that, you know, fill up the void left behind by your wailing.
Yeah. I was watching some wrestling, too. That's always fun. I guess they're trying to... Like, Roman Reigns has the belt now. Everybody saw that coming. Everybody and their grandpa. I mean, everybody assumed, like I did, that big old Braun Strowman would give him the hands at SummerSlam, but it didn't happen. So we just got Roman Reigns coming out, getting his booze every single time, him stuttering in the microphone. And I think even though I told everybody I would cancel the subscription if Brock Lesnar kept the belt, I think I'm just going to do it anyway.
Wait, how much is your subscription to WWE?
I mean, the thing is, it's $10 a month. And if you just watch pay-per-views, it's worth it alone. But there's so much. Like, you could just watch the entire backlog of ECW, which I hate because somebody, some fucking intern somewhere meticulously went through the entire history of ECW and edited out everybody's walkout music because they didn't have the rights to it.
Oh, fuck.
So instead of Pantera's Walk, Rob Van Dam comes out to like, doot, 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 and you're just like, what the fuck is this?
Huh. So they just put like royalty-free music back there instead?
Yes, exactly. They just put either they put their WWE stuff or they put some royalty-free bullshit that sounds like a little bit like the song coming out. It's like Balls Mahoney comes out instead of, We've Got the Biggest Balls in the Mall by AC/DC or whatever that song is. I think it's just called Big Balls. He comes out to like a song that sounds kind of like Big Balls, but with some sour notes here and there.
Oh, God.
Played by some hack-ass musicians. It's just, I don't know why that ruins it so much for me, because ECW has so much great shit on its own. You got guys jumping off the top of the building and smashing their skull into concrete and getting up and being fine and not bitching about it. But
CTE. Like, yeah, everybody has crippling CTE.
They all died of drug overdoses due to painkillers and killed their wives, but they're fine. So, I can't get over the entrance music. That fucking stupid-ass metal entrance music they all came out to is important to me.
Man, I never thought about this before, but it makes a lot of sense now that, like, in the WWE, everybody's got, like, custom theme music. Like, they have, yeah. Either some, faceless chud writing a generic badass anthem for them, or, like, I don't know, a known artist recording a song specifically for that particular wrestler. Like, Motorhead had something for Triple H, right?
Oh, yeah, they still do. They have, like, three songs for Triple H or Triple H's groups or whatever.
But it makes sense that they would do that so that they didn't have to pay somebody else for that music. They're just, like, getting it all in-house.
Yeah. Actually, that Faceless Chud that writes all their music, it's, like, one guy. And
It's two guys, CFO, two guys, yeah. Dollar sign. They've been doing it for a few years now and writing some songs that have been pretty popular. And even before that, going back to the 80s, they had Jim Johnston doing, a lot of the big hits.
Yeah.
And Rick Derringer for, like, Demolition.
So to bring everything full circle and get into my nerdy ass Metal Gear shit as well as my nerdy ass metal wrestling stuff. Two things, by the way, that every listener does not want to hear, but we're talking about anyway. So this guy that wrote all these songs, he opened up a reverb shop, right, to sell some of his music gear. And this was like the amplifiers that like the Stone Cold Steve Austin theme was written on and played on and stuff like that. And he had like a JCM 800 he was selling on there. And he was like, $800, which is like fucking insane for any JCM 800, let alone one with any sort of historical significance. And I probably didn't have enough money in the bank and I slept on it and it was gone, of course, in like a day or two. But I thought that was neat that this guy was willing to sell his stuff for a bargain. I guess he's not doing so well. I don't know.
Yeah, I saw that, like, the feller from Mastodon was selling all his shit, too. Also on Reverb. I look through, and, of course, I can't afford any of it, but it's, like,
no.
real nice shit is the thing.
Yeah, and
We've talked about Mastodon's finances a number of times on here. I can't help but wonder if, maybe they keep wasting all of their money on shit like unnecessary large crews and like handcrafted pianos.
Man, that's always been
that piano band we all know and love.
That's always been a thing that I've always been shitty about is how everybody in the metal community is so broke and we're all so starving and we're sleeping in vans and we're sleeping on floors. But it's like you guys are coming out with $5,000 diesels and shit. So it's like, shut the fuck up. Like, give me a break. You could have taken one zero out of the equation and gotten a PV5150 used and it would have made the same fucking dumb sound that all metal makes. Instead, you had to come up with the Lexus of fucking music. We've been all into this, but
in the future, all metal is going to be Squire guitars through crank amps.
Crank?
Or, sorry, crate amps. Crate.
Vroom, vroom, motherfucker. So we got to... What else we got that I was going to talk about? Well, here's the thing. Bill Kelleher of Mastodon has been selling shit forever. I don't think they're doing bad. I think it's just, Brent Hines is just getting in on the action, selling shit online.
I mean, like, out of storage space, maybe, or he's just like, I want to buy a motorcycle.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, that's kind of one of the things. If you're an active musician, you just always have this constant rotation of gear. You're always trading stuff in. You're always selling stuff to fund other stuff. I know this guy who has an amplifier probably a week at a time. He just gets bored with it and wants to try something better and newer. And he's always trading up. You know, he's always a fast talker and getting better stuff all the time. And it's never good enough. And so it's just how it always is with musicians. They sell shit and buy shit all of the time.
Sorry, go ahead, Jordan.
Oh, I have nothing to say. We've been talking about amps and guitars and tone for the past 20 minutes, and I've just been sitting here updating the apps on my phone.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, what's your you got guys in your band. They play guitar and stuff. You don't even look behind you?
No, it honestly, it doesn't really make a difference to me what someone's playing or what tuning they're in, like, as long as it sounds good. Like, not to be all butt the riffs, but it doesn't matter that someone has an orange amp to me.
Ooh. While we have while we're on that topic, can I just tell everybody on Twitter, I've never heard a Nazi say that.
Yeah.
But those riffs, but those sweets. It's like, no, they've never said that. They always say stupid shit like, if you cannot deal with the evil, then you are not allowed here, or some bullshit like that. They've never said, oh, but come on, bro, those riffs.
Yeah, no, it's always some equivocating piece of shit that says, but the riffs, and it's always in reference to Argus Lent, even though they fucking suck.
So we have been out of it for the past week. You've been slightly more into what's going on. Is there anything that we need to know about?
Which one of us has been slightly...
Well, okay, we'll get into it. We got the only news that I can see so far. Of course, the vocalist for We Came As Romans died, RIP. Drug overdose. Terrible. Yeah, but...
I've never heard of anything about that band ever, aside from, like, seeing a t-shirt here and there.
Right.
I feel like That completely, like, missed whatever sphere I live in.
Slightly younger metalcore than what we grew up with. So that's why.
It's not in our vein. But I feel like we always shout out the recent deaths in the community, and that's
a lot. And the drummer from Weed Eater.
Oh really? Shit. I didn't know that.
I didn't hear about that either.
Yeah, we read the website. It was covered in our news. You know.
Oh,
was
your news.
When I was gone?
Good excuse.
Yeah, I don't read the website.
You have a website?
I just like roll out of bed and get on this podcast and yak with you guys and then roll back into bed. So, anyway, he passed away. But also... something that's probably worse than people dying is Metallica's putting out more stupid bullshit.
No.
What?
No.
That doesn't sound like Metallica. Come
get
on.
Out of here. Get right out of town.
You're right. It's a joke, you guys. I couldn't fool you two. Man, Metallica would never do that.
So yeah, it's what is the dumb thing that they're doing?
So I guess Metallica got set up with putting out some whiskey. And it's not what everybody thinks, as far
as
titling.
Whiskey. It's not whiskey in a jar.
No, because that's an old Irish folk tune, boy. Metallica can't get in on that. The name of the whiskey is Blackened, and for all you whiskey snobs out there, it is a blend, so don't touch that bullshit.
Oh, isn't whiskey not black?
Yeah, it's also not black. Let's mention that it's the blend as well, because I like a few blended whiskeys. It's notable that this is a blend of bourbons, ryes, and other whiskeys. So you ever heard that old song Wine Spodioti?
No, no. See, I have. No,
no, Dad.
The idea behind Wine Spodioti is a cocktail of whatever is left at the bottom of everybody's bottle. You just mix it all together, so you've got just a cocktail of disgusting shit, and that sounds like what this whiskey is, because you should not be blending those things together.
this makes me think of if you go to like a Wendy's or a Burger King, and you know they now have those soda machines where it has like 100 different ones,
the
and you
can kind of mix it.
Yeah, it's a freestyle, but for Metallica alcohol.
Those
yeah.
kick ass. I go to Moe's 90% for the freestyle. So what is it's like the official name of the bottom of the barrel whiskey. Like if you drink, and it's in every bottle, like the bottle at the bottom is the worst tasting whiskey. There's a name for it.
Is that a thing?
Yeah. It's if you
the dregs.
The dregs. I think that's it.
Yeah. I don't know if that is right or not. I'm going to go with that though.
It is now.
Yeah. So it's not, it's probably not, but yeah, I guess the old joke is when you get to the bottom of your bottle whiskey, you invite your buddies over to have it because it's not as tasty as the
and they top bring of the bottle, they bring theirs, and then you mix it all together and you get one Spodiote.
And then you get Metallica's Blackened or Brownened.
Is like blackened out. Is that what they're going for? No, it's cool that I love this trend of dudes that have famously been sober, like after long struggles with alcoholism, releasing alcohol under their name, like with Dave Mustaine and a variety of Megadeth beers that he will not drink.
I think it's really funny because I don't think I've ever seen a wino actually drunk on wine. I feel like drinking wine is like, you know, it's like crazy aunt drunk. It's like not really scary, but
yeah, I've known. Well, we'll talk about. Yes, it exists. It's gross.
sorry if that got too personal too quick, but yeah, I think that's obscene that like these guys are, you know, stone sober. Terrible alcoholics, and they need to keep away from that stuff. But no, let's slap our name on some of that shit.
You know, it's still better than what Anthrax did with their whiskey in naming it Indians.
Yeah, like
I had no idea about this.
Yeah, I don't think that got enough attention when it happened.
It must not have. I have no clue.
It's possible that, you know, maybe the guys in Anthrax don't know about, you know, 200 years of oppression and subjugation of the Native Americans and in the United States, and then, like, you know, the crippling problem of alcoholism within these the confines of their tribes. It's just it's pretty tone deaf, I would say.
Well, Joey Belladonna has claimed in the past to be at least some part Native American, and
oh, for sure, dude.
You know, I don't know his family tree, but he has certainly worn a headdress over the course of many years for the song Indians. Yeah, this is kind of really uncomfortable, and you know, the metal community, being the metal community, just went, no, it's not a big deal, whatever.
My grandmother's grandmother's grandmother on my stepfather's side was 10% Apache, so, you know, it's fine.
And they have their own beer called War Dance, which features a skull with a headdress on it. So this isn't like a one-time oopsies. This is a theme. Alcohol and Native American imagery and references.
Wow. I just I love some of the comments on Metal Sucks regarding the Metallica whiskey, though. These guys are like, no, this is too far. Like, yeah, this what a is shame. The thing
to put it too far.
You're right.
You forgot to mention the gimmick of the whiskey, which I think is
yes. Oh my god! Oh my god! The stupidest bullshit I've ever read in my entire life. Do you have the quote in front of you?
Because I got think it says here that the whiskey is subjected to loud blasts of Metallica music during the aging process, which allegedly influences the flavor. Meyer's sound is engineered in a proprietary subwoofer that amplifies the low frequency sound waves necessary to get juices moving, which Pickerel describes as low hertz sound waves so intense that it actually enhances the molecular interaction and ultimately the finish of the whiskey. Oh, which is bullshit. And just like, appallingly so. Who are you? Who are you telling this to? And they're like, yeah, no, sounds legit.
I would believe it more if they said Lars rubbed his balls on each and every bottle before I would believe that.
You might sell more bottles that way.
And it's making me think now that the whiskey that you're going to be drinking has been blasted with the same music to torture prisoners of war.
Yeah, yeah. When can I get that drowning pool Abu Ghraib torture whiskey? No, this is awesome. I can't. Can you imagine the kind of simp like that you're describing this to, and they're like, "Oh, word! It tastes like Metallica." Then, like, what kind of a drooling, mewling idiot would be like, "Yes, I must have this."
We should name this episode "Abu Ghraib Metallica Whiskey." I don't know. Oh my god!
I want to buy the rum that was in Noriega's compound while, like, U.S. forces were blasting Panama at ear-shattering decibels. Like,
war criminals' choice whiskey.
You see, the whiskey, it gets sleep-deprived, and we pump it full of music that it's not used to, and
eventually, it surrenders to the freedom-loving power.
Right. On a molecular level, yeah, it surrenders to freedom.
Yeah, man. What is the word for it? When they call it torture, but they don't call it torture, it's like...
It's like advanced negotiation
techniques.
Yeah.
Interrogation techniques.
Interrogation, not negotiation. Although that would be nice, too. It's like, listen, I think it's negotiating. It's like, listen, tell us what we want to know.
Or we'll kill you.
Kill you.
That is, in a way, a negotiation process.
Yeah.
Tough but fair.
Cool. So... I mean, I don't think that we're at Kiss Coffin levels yet with Metallica, but it is damn close.
Yeah, once you start getting into your own liquors, you're starting to get to like another level of just merchandising grifting. Like Slayer has a whole bunch of their own wines.
Yeah,
like that's a whole other level. That's not quite Coffin, but it's getting there.
I think that's a really good indicator of when a band is. Just if you're like one of those guys that really cares about how underground your music is, if they're releasing booze, not the underground. You got Slayer, Iron Maiden, Mastodon most recently have all beers, like craft beers. They got them. They're on the shelves. Megadeth has like a Unibrow, which I think is so strange because, I mean, it's one thing for old, you know, Mega Stain to make wine, but for him to be putting out like dark, rich beer. It's a totally different thing. Do you think Ash thinks he's back on it? Do you think he's tasting all this stuff and not telling anybody?
Mustaine?
Yeah.
From what I hear, he regularly falls off the wagon. So I don't know. Not to like make light of the thing or anything. It's just a thing that I've heard. But I mean,
certainly like, fucking helping. You know, I mean,
it's right up there with like releasing a Vince Neil branded like safe driving kit.
Wow. Like, deep reference.
That's for you, all 12 listeners still on this episode.
If we're lucky.
Yeah, yeah. This has not been a good episode, but I feel like we're getting into something here. Yeah,
I think it's probably been one of our best, and we just don't know it yet. If we listen back, it's going to be a good one.
No, I don't want to. I would hate to listen to somebody talk about going to a fucking marketing conference.
Tubes.
Yeah,
wrestling's
like,
fun.
Yeah, I mean, there's a good chance that like people opened up this one like, oh, a wrestling episode. See you later.
Yeah,
but they opened it up, okay. And that's where we get our know-how on how popular we are. If you crack open the seal, you can't return it.
So I missed this the first time around, but apparently Ozzy is doing another farewell tour. Like he had the fucking balls to call this one No More Tours 2. You know, because the first No More Tours happened like in, what was it, the early 90s? Maybe even the 80s. Shit. I don't remember.
Wow. No More Tours 2.
Yeah. And
the second tour.
Even then he says, okay, this is my last world tour, all right? But I might still do some more shows later on.
I think it's bullshit. I think every fucking band that announces a farewell tour, you know it's not their last one.
And of course not. And it just like it just rubs dirt in it to just have the to call this one two. Like, no more two.
If anything, that's probably a self-aware joke, I think.
Yeah, of course. But you like know. There was a thing on The Simpsons, like you know, one of those, you know, season like eight, you know, episodes. It was, they were talking about seeing the Rolling Stones. No more, this is it. No Fool in the last tour ever, 1982.
And the thing is, even after he dies, you know there's going to be an Ozzy hologram. You know it's going to happen.
Oh, yeah. My God.
With that, you know, dynamic stage presence, who wouldn't want that?
And hopping Slayer, up and down and yelling.
You got Slayer extending their farewell tour. No one saw that coming. Extending, quote unquote.
Driving me insane seeing people defending them, just adding more and more dates to their final tour. Well, of course they're going to play Europe. Of course they're going to play Asia. Of course they're going to play Australia. It's just the final North American tour that they mentioned at first. They're going to play elsewhere. It's already extended into 2019. You know it's going into 2020. And you know once they stop, it's going to be maybe a year before they just come back for the reunion tour or playing Wacken or some other massive festival. Or a riot fest in Chicago like the Misfits. It's going to happen.
Yeah.
The ride will never end.
I think ethically what a band should do is just have a tour. Have it as big as possible. Let people speculate, but don't say anything about calling it quits at all until the very end. And I know that it's like, oh, well, you're not going to make all your money. You're not going to get everybody showing up. But, I mean, the fucking all the money pouring in, all the people showing up, definitely makes it not your last tour. Fund your next one.
I'm just saying,
it's just
let's put some stakes on this. You don't have to retire if you don't want to retire. You can keep going as long as you want to go, but you can't say this is our last tour ever and then come back. So what I'm proposing is, if you want to retire, you say this is our last tour, we're not coming back, and then you chop off your right hand at the very conclusion of the entire thing.
Right. Or at least write some sort of contract giving up complete rights to the music or something. Doing something that just really solidifies the deal that you can never come back.
Even if Slayer stops playing shows, you know you're going to get Kerry King playing all the Slayer hits on a solo tour. You're going to get Tom Araya playing shows, doing Slayer songs. It's not like they can do anything else. It's not like they have anything to fall back on other than maybe showing up to like NAMM conferences or doing guest spots for Sum 41.
Kerry King is going to just go out and start something called Hell Awaits, and then the band that's been active for 30 years called Hell Awaits because they loved Slayer and started a garage band about it is left in the dust.
I honestly think that's the most likely scenario. I think that it's possible that Tom Araya is tired. He looks tired. Kerry King literally has nothing else to live for other than Slayer and specifically merchandising Slayer.
Just look at him.
Jägermeister.
Yeah. So Tom might hang it up, but I mean, you've already like, when you see Slayer now, you only have two original members. What's the difference between just having one original member going forward? You know,
it's like Slayer Incorporated, some stupid bullshit.
Yeah, but even when they say they're tired, they want to stay with their families, etc. I believe that. I do believe that. But boredom's gonna set in. Like, this has been your life for a long time, and you're just gonna be sitting at home watching TV. Like, how long is that gonna last for?
Yeah, it's not over. Nothing's over. Except for this episode. I think this episode's almost over.
We hit our stride about 40 minutes in.
Yeah. I'm just gonna delete everything before talking about whiskey, and it'll be one of those special 10-minute episodes. We need to do our Patreon episode. I was thinking maybe we could do a reading together of Lita Ford's biography, or we could watch a movie, or I don't know. It's up to you guys. What do you think?
No, I think we should definitely find out what a piece of shit Tony Iommi is and make sure we never have any heroes again.
That sounds like a good plan to me. I love that idea. I think this is it for me. I don't know what we're playing on this episode just yet, but I assure you it is good, so yeah, please enjoy the music coming up next. Thanks for listening, guys.
Keep it metal, bros.
Bye.
Listening to 66.6 FM, Radio TOVH, The Flush.